my destiny. Because God uses him as a time clock to show me seasons, to understand the things that are happening in heaven. And he said, if we do well, he will crown us. You don't know what of kingdom authority is. It's a commodity, it's a vast commodity. We want to make a commitment to the Lord before we, Lord, we will do well. It's our own commitment. As long as your grace is with us and your spirit flows on our lives to enable us, our heart will be fixed not to seek for vainglory, but to adorn you with every excellency by which you have empowered us. We will do well. So make us strong. Make us equipped. Make us mighty. Can we pray? It's a prayer of dedication, prayer of commitment. It's a prayer of commitment. There is a crowning that will take place in the body of Christ. Authority will be restored. The beast of the land will be restrained again. We will do well. We will adorn you with the excellencies of the glory that results by your grace. Only let your hand not depart from us. Let that which you have called us to do be established. I must send him a cabelantes cobre maraiz. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. So that's, I just casted news. That's where God is now. You know. He'll be trusting us. He'll be testing us. We will do well. You may be seated. God bless you. Yes, my friend is here, all the way from Germany. Brother Komolafe Emmanuel is making welcome. You see, this Zoom we are using is not correct. I know him on Zoom, but when I saw him, I didn't know he was the one. Please celebrate him, welcome him. Hallelujah. And for those in the minister's stand, please make him welcome. Make him welcome. He's a man of God. He's a man of God. He's a man of God. That has, God is using mightily in Europe. And, amen. So, and secondly, the reason why I have this tie on is because today marks 13 years in marriage. So I want to extract, maybe my wife will come and give the testimony.
Praise the Lord. We thank God for 13 years of God's faithfulness. It has been him all the way.
This is what we normally see. Now, let me be asking you the questions to answer. This is the kind of talk we normally say in church.
It's been 13 years.
It's been 13 years.
Watching.
Yes, so what made you follow me? Tell me. Why did you follow me? Tell the congregation.
I followed you because, one, God was on you. Even though you didn't look it then. But
don't be in a hurry to laugh at that point.
And yeah, God was with him, and there was something. I remember when God spoke to me about him. I said, Lord, I don't really know him that much. I don't know his family. He's from a place where I am not. He's from Kogi. I'm from the West. I haven't been to his land before. There was so much fear the future. But I told God, when he kept telling me, this is it. I said, okay, I follow by faith. So this journey of 13 years has been actually a journey that started by faith. And now, after 13 years, I'm convinced.
I think I need to supply all the details so that you will know. I was a classroom teacher. I teach mathematics and chemistry. The time I proposed. Yeah. And I was good in the classroom, I tell you. So it was a journey of faith. The currency that we have navigated with, the voice of God.
True.
The same voice that spoke to me to resign last year. And exactly 1 year later, they scrapped my office. That's the voice that has led me through the wilderness. And everything that God said came to pass. Part of the testimony I want to share with us, you might may have heard it on Facebook. We wanted to go to Mombasa for honeymoon, but it didn't work out. We went to the Kenya embassy then, and the lady that was supposed to work on travel documents, when she saw me, she just hated me. So there was no need to continue. I just walked away. I don't have time. I submitted the thing. She looked at me, and I know that look. Anytime someone that has a demon, when we meet in the bank, in the market, in the filling station, that's how they look. So when I saw that look again, I took the documents. I told her, don't worry, we will make other plans. And 13 years later, the Lord took us to
Mombasa.
And she was riding camel.
Yes.
Camel.
It's not wasted. 13 years. I have to still climb it.
Yeah, she had to climb it. She had that desire 13 years later. Don't be in a hurry. Some of your prayer points will take 10 years to come to pass. God answered, but
it's not
answered,
a cause.
It's not a cause. It's not. God answered your prayer, but the answer will manifest in a season.
Yeah.
And you do not determine that season.
It's actually the best season.
Yeah, so God is faithful. 13 years later, we are in the middle of our corporate destiny. We've sacrificed until we are used to sacrifice. Sacrifice is sweet. And the Lord spoke many great things about the future to come. I want you to do me a favor. Celebrate this woman. When you hear that a man is called of God, be sure of one thing. He must be a very stubborn man if he can fulfill the call. You must be very stubborn. You will need to rebel against circumstances, rebel against situations, rebel. And the only thing that matters to you is what God told you. Many times people will misunderstand you and God will not show up quickly to defend you. So you will go through many things alone. And if you don't have a woman that believes in what God has called you to do and believes in the fact that you actually hear God, you are going to have a hard time. We fought storms. We fought waves. And this is 13 years later. We came to say that the Lord is faithful. And we celebrate Him. Paul said, pray for us. As powerful as Paul was, he still beckoned on the brethren to strengthen him in prayer. Can you just strengthen us again in a word of prayer and say, Lord, you that have begun a good work, accomplish it, fulfill it. Bring it to pass. Bring it to pass. Bring it to pass. Bring it to pass. Oh, we give you praise, Lord. Sikobrej, Uriyama Masatoba, Sikobrej, Uriyama Masatoba, testify of your grace and your goodness and your kindness and your tender mercies. You saw us through the storm. You saw us through betrayals. You saw us through sickness. Saw us through tribulation. You have made us stronger, and our confidence in you is even more steadfast because you are faithful. And we speak your faithfulness in the congregation, and we say, be glorified. You've been faithful. Celebrate him. Give him praise. You may be seated. Because of the night vigil, the night prayers, we will just be very brief. We decided to come celebrate the Lord because of his faithfulness. There are four spiritual things that I need to clarify with us during the course of this week. And the first of which is the hand of the Lord. The hand of the Lord. Turn your Bible to the book of Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37, the hand of the Lord. If the technical man is in position, you may wish to project the scripture. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. This man is trying to describe a spiritual experience. And in his description of this spiritual experience, he takes advantage of a few metaphors which are necessary for us to understand. What we are trying to do is to really recognize, really be able to recognize the spiritual experience that Ezekiel had in Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me. And there are many times when you might have this experience, but because you don't know that this is the experience, the very experience that Ezekiel had, the profit that you draw from it and the possibilities that arise from it might be shortchanged just because you were not in the know of what the experiential dimensions of the hand of the Lord was about. Alright, because of time, we would have done a very long teaching on this subject. But we need to give way for prayers in the night. So let me cut it short. I would have taken you to the book of Exodus to show you the capabilities of the magicians, genies and jabberies in the house of Pharaoh. And when Moses began to release the plagues, they were able to mimic, reproduce the same results using the facilities of darkness until Moses did something. He took dust from the ground and threw it in the air. And that was the origin of flies that invaded Egypt. And the magicians could not reproduce that miracle. When they investigated further, they said, this is the hand of God. It means that the hand of God is a manifestation of the Spirit of God that Satan cannot reproduce. So the hand of God always operates in the original. You see, there are many things that you can duplicate. You can photocopy documents. In fact, I gathered that in recent times we even have colored photocopiers that can reproduce the original document as if it were the original document. But there are several things that do not exist in copies. They only exist as original. Do you still remember that scripture when the Bible says, now the foundation of the Lord standeth sure? Remember that scripture? Then he now says, having this seal. What is a seal? A seal is an item. It's a security item that only exists in the original. There is no duplicate copy for a seal. So it's either you have the seal or you don't have the seal. And a seal is actually given to an administrative office as an item of authenticity. If you want to authenticate a letter, what you do is that you administer the seal. The reason why those kings of old had bogus rings is not because of fashion. Because that seal only exists in the original, and it is an item that must be on a document in order for it to carry the validity of the fact that it came from the king. The king cannot put it just anywhere. So he wears the seal as a ring. That's why those rings were bogus. Today, someone would just go and look for a strange... May the Lord give you understanding. The reason why those kings wore big rings is because the ring doubled as a seal. And because of how important the seal is to administration of the kingdom, he wears it so that nobody can stumble upon it by any means and use it to authenticate a transaction. A seal only exists in what? Original. So we are saying that the hand of the Lord only exists by the Spirit of God. It's not something that can be reproduced. Like Satan, there are some warlocks that can heal, administer healing. Alright? I even heard of some warlocks that can administer temporal resurrection. Somebody dies and then they want to find out who killed the person. So they do cast a spell and they resurrect the person for 30 minutes. So the person will now say, meanwhile, it is a warlock that is responsible for the spirit that embodies that vessel. And that person can actually rise up, and the person that the warlock wants to put into trouble, it can make the spirit implicate that person. And because it is supernatural, you will believe. But if the warlock were that powerful, he would have given the person life to rise up. So when you see someone that rises from the dead, it is a seal. It is only the power of the Creator that can achieve that feat. And that was why God chose that the sign to prove Jesus' deity will be that he rises from the dead. Because we know the grave of every religious leader. We know their grave. So God used the seal, a dimension that is in God that darkness cannot duplicate. Now, if you take time to study the book of Ezekiel, maybe next year I'm going to be more meticulous with my travels, because I owe you a duty to teach you this Bible. When we go into the study of the book of Ezekiel, you find that Lucifer was a wonderful creature. But God, that knows the end from the beginning, he's so wise. There are some things that he does because he knows the end. Like you find angels like Michael, Gabriel. The word El there means is God. It means that those angels were sealed by God. There was an El. The name of God was attached to the name of the angels. But in Lucifer, there was no El there. So there was no insurance policy. God knew this one will not be on ground. So those are some of the things he does because he knows the end. So he also gives us clues to see that he is omniscient. And when he created this angelic personality, this personality had 10 out of the 12 stones that was upon the breastplate of the priest, indicative of the fact that there are various things that God does that the devil can bring a very close replica. Very, very close replica. Oh, you don't believe me? All right, like prophecy. Spirits of divination can prophesy. In fact, if you have studied the book of Acts chapter 16, you will see the efforts of a certain lady that was possessed with the spirit of divination. And if we profile her utterances, you will realize that she had an inspiration. That knowledge that came through her utterance was not a knowledge that came because she had any cerebral insight into the people that came to preach in the territory. It was by an inspiration that came through his spirit. And the spirit did not lie. The spirit spoke true. What the spirit said, the spirit didn't speak truth. He spoke what? True. So if you are going to investigate it mentally, there is nothing that diminishes that utterance from being classified as prophecy. The closest relative to prophecy is what the Bible calls soothsaying. The reason why it is called soothsaying is because it has its roots in the spirit of divination. The reason why it is called soothsaying is because if you use it suits, it fits in. If you use your brain to analyze it, it will fit in perfectly. It means that the spirit that revealed it has some insight. But there are dimensions of God that cannot by any means be mimicked by the kingdom of darkness. Are you with me? That's the realm of the seal. Are you there? And it is those dimensions that cannot be mimicked. Satan doesn't have the capacity to reproduce those results. It is those dimensions that seal things in the realm of God. Such that your destiny, your purpose is not commonplace. It is a sealed item. You will need to search for it. And it is when the seal is broken. And that it takes a move of authority in order for the seal to be broken, and then the content of that document is unveiled to your spirit. That economy is not accessible by the kingdom of darkness because it's an administration of things that are sealed. It was Jesus that said, sorry, I'm not too strong this night. I need rest. So I will not go far. If not, oh God. It was Jesus that said, unto you it is given to understand the mysteries of the kingdom. And I've taught you before, and I made you understand that a mystery is something that eyes have not seen, that ears have not heard, and it has never entered into the heart of a man. It is beyond the scope of what you were taught. It's beyond the scope of what you can learn. A mystery can only be given to you. A mystery is the economy of sealed things. Alright? Meanwhile, the Bible reveals us as such people that are stewards of the mysteries of God. The realm of mysteries are the realm of seals. And that realm is a dimension that Satan cannot replicate. There are many things he can replicate, like prophets. He can do something that looks like it. Do you understand? In my village, there are people that can heal with demonic power. Especially if it's a bone issue. Even if it's your spinal cord, your vertebral column that got bad because of an accident. They'll just get a chicken and break the leg of the chicken, the same place your own leg broke. And they will begin to administer. They won't touch you. Begin to administer healing to the chicken. And anything they do to the chicken, it will happen to your leg. They will begin to arrange the bones. You will be tumbling there. You can't sit there. Then they will take something and tie the chicken's leg. Alright? Which is like POP now. They will not use any physical POP for you, but the leg is tied. And then after 4 days, the person's leg is healed. There are several things that the Holy Ghost can do that Satan can produce similarities. It's not the same. Because the Bible says, for instance, it says the blessing of the Lord, what happened? It makes rich. So we know, not add the remaining yet. It makes rich. Satan too can produce riches. Have you not seen those occult groups that put people in coffins? And a man invites his cousin from the village and use that idol, puts it on the person's head, and they make the person's soul captive. It's like a corpse. He wakes up every morning to vomit money. That one too make it rich now. So he can produce the result. But you see, what he cannot do is that when God makes rich, he doesn't add sorrow. So that aspect is sealed. It cannot be produced by darkness. But he can make rich. But in addition to the riches, you will need to cope with the sorrow that comes with it. So I'm talking about dimensions in God that Satan cannot reproduce. There's a great temptation to teach this night. God. I refuse. I refuse that temptation. So that we can have time for the prayers. Are you with me? So when the magicians identified that it was the hand of the Lord that was responsible, what they were saying was that this dimension of the supernatural, we cannot reproduce it. We don't have the resources in the kingdom of darkness to reproduce this dimension. So Satan has 10 gems, and God gave the high priest 12 gems. It means that there are 2 gems that Satan cannot reproduce, and that forms the category of things that we call the sealed things. So, when we say that the hand of the Lord is upon me, as the magicians identified it, it is a dimension of the Spirit of God that is designed to produce a result that darkness cannot produce. Are you there? All right, let's take another scripture quickly. Don't worry, the next 15 minutes I'll be out of your way. I think it's Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. This is Jesus speaking when he was given an opportunity to read the book of the prophet Isaiah in the synagogue. It seems when they come to the synagogue, one of the activities that they carry out there is to read the scriptures. So they continue to read. If they are in Jeremiah, they will read a portion. There are a number of... And you know, those days, they didn't have books, but they had scrolls. So they give you a scroll. So it is the content of the scroll that is delivered to you that you will read. So that at the end of the day, if you are a good synagogue attendee, you should be present when the whole scripture is read, maybe throughout the whole year. And it came to pass that the time that Jesus was given the opportunity to do the reading, they were in Isaiah. And they did not give Jesus the scroll until it came to the portion in the book of Isaiah that captures what we want to read now. So I just want you to see the sovereignty, the accuracy of timing. They would have given him the opportunity to read when they were in Nahum. Because it was not him that had the authority to determine when he would be given the opportunity to read. And they gave him the opportunity to read a particular portion of, not the book, but the scroll. Maybe the book of Isaiah contains 50, 60 something scrolls. You understand that? How come it was the unique scroll that captured the details of the errand of the anointing that was upon the life of Jesus that was handed out to him to read? If you have done anything in mathematics along the lines of probability, it is only sovereignty that can make that happen. If you know probability, at least you can figure out the assortments, the possibilities, and for it to happen exactly, it was powered by the hand of God. This is what Jesus read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. Right? So, another way to say that the hand of the Lord is upon you is that the anointing is active. The anointing has been released to accomplish a task. And the devil cannot mimic or reproduce the dynamics of the anointing. So the things that the anointing will produce will be a marvel to the kingdom of darkness. Maybe someone was bound by a certain kind of mystery, and then the anointing comes upon you to handle that situation. It doesn't matter the secrets that are involved in the architecture of the crisis. The moment the anointing finds expression, the whole structure will be overwhelmed because it's a dimension that Satan did not foresee. You understand that? It is beyond the scope of his technology. So Jesus said that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me, number one, to preach. Wait. I want to draw a list, if that is possible. But maybe after the fast, we'll do this teaching properly. Because we have not gone to the book of Daniel to show you how that Daniel gained employment in the ministry of wisdom of Babylon. We now discovered how Babylon became a world power. If they come to your village and conquer your village, Idoma, the person that is the highest ranking servant of Aleku, what is the name? Ada Aleku. Eh? If Babylon conquers Idoma, they will carry Ada Aleku and employ him in the ministry of wisdom, with his shrine. If Babylon conquers Thief, the one that keeps Swem, the shade of Swem, is employed. They can kill the rest, but that one has automatic employment. Or let him bring the articles of Swem. Because Babylon operates by mysteries. You have recommendations that come through these sources. And that's how Babylon forges ahead. And they were able, what we call globalization was an idea that Nebuchadnezzar founded. So it's not new. And if we want to begin to talk about 666, that's where we need to start from. Because all the ingredients of what will be obtainable in the future were already captured in that archaic context. The man worked in the prototype of what? Don't worry. When we have the time. You will find out that the image he erected, how many cubits tall? 6. How many cubits wide? It's 6-6. I will show you 6. Then I will show you 6-6 with Nebuchadnezzar. Then 666 in the book of Revelation. Then I will show you the real reason why Solomon's ministry failed. There was something that happened that went wrong before the women came. So in Babylon, if they invade her village and they see that in the morning she used to suspend, it means she has insight into a dimension of priesthood. She's employed. By the time we peep into the ministry of wisdom in Babylon, all the ancient orders of priesthood were represented in that way. No time. We'll do it properly. Until a situation came when no department of the kingdom of darkness could provide a solution. A man had dreamt, and when he woke up, the pen drive of the dream was unplugged. So that memory, the floppy disk. You know what those days when we started there? Some of you won't know the days of floppy disk. The floppy disk of the insights that the man received, by the time he was waking up, they removed it, they retrieved. So he was sure that there was an insight, but he couldn't lay hold on it. It was too far away. He said, all right, you guys are wise guys. You know how to, you can suspend, you can bring rain in dry season. You, all of you go back and retrieve the floppy. When they came back, they said, wait, first of all, you are not requesting according to the rules of engagement. No king has ever requested. It means you have gone beyond the agreement. No king. It means the request kings make, they are confined to a certain range of assortments. This one is overboard, is beyond. However, if you need further insight on this matter, it is only the gods that are holy that are in custody of this kind of high secret. And unfortunately for you, king, they do not dwell with men. So, there's no time. That presentation would have led us to talk about divination. Then I would have shown you Balaam. And the reason why some pastors in our time can conveniently use the spirit of divination on the pulpit. And just like Paul did not know for 3 days that lady was prophesying with a foul spirit. Oh, he didn't know. And there was no means for him to know other than the spirit's witness. Because there's a dimension of discernment that goes beyond your articulation of the written word of God. Paul didn't know for 3 days. So someone can come and be preaching and using the spirit of divination to give prophecies, to give something like insights. People say, wow, it's accurate. It is true. Yes, it is true. Because the spirit is familiar. The spirit knows your father. Knows your grandfather. Knows your great-grandfather. He knows when your father died. Knows when your great-grandfather died. Knows. He can give you the history of... In fact, there's a masquerade in my tribe. When that masquerade comes out and you stand before the masquerade, for people that are lost, maybe you cannot trace your genealogy, they go and revive that masquerade. And it takes a lot of sacrifice to be able to revive it. When the masquerade comes, you say, you, your name is, nobody will tell him, Your name is this. You are the son of this man. And that man, he was a son of this man. They will trace your genealogy to the first occupant of that territory through that masquerade. That's not all. There's a ritual, a spiritual ritual. If you claim that a certain land is yours, you are not following me again. That man can support this my talk that I'm talking here. He knows what I'm talking about. If you claim that a certain land is yours, no problem. You say it's yours, no problem. The priest will come. And when the priest comes, he will invoke, according to them, but I know what he is doing. But he will invoke that your great grandfather that you say gave the land. He will also invoke your own great grandfather that you say sold the land. You will hear, if you know that your great grandfather, his voice, you will hear his voice clearly. I'm not saying there's somebody that he's speaking through, he's speaking here. All of us are hearing. So you will now ask your own great grandfather, what do you have to say? What do you have to say about this land? He will use his voice while he was alive. Anyone that knew him will know he is the one talking. Oh, sometimes when you are beating your wife, your wife can run to that man. The man will come and produce the spirit that will use your own late father's voice and say, Adama. Oh, that's how they discipline people those days. They bring their father back. And that's why the culture among necromancers believe that even dead people are still part of the family because they can invoke them to make some decisions. So if you have these dimensions, Nebuchadnezzar employs you straight until the day came when the floppy disk could not be retrieved. And they say, only the spirit of the Holy Ghost can do this. And unfortunately, they do not dwell with men. It means that Satan in that day acknowledged that there were dimensions that existed that he could not even lie. He couldn't mimic it and he couldn't lie that he had a solution. The grace to lie, the inspiration to bring a lie was not available. It's just like further maths. You never did further maths and calculus is given to you. If you want to even lie to your father that you normally do, the variables are too many. There is no connection. So they could not lie. They acknowledged that there was a dimension of spirit operations that was far beyond their scope. Those are the realm of sealed things. The anointing is one of the articles in that realm. And Jesus said that the spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach. Are you with me? According to this scripture, your ability to preach is supposed to be a product of an inspiration that came not from your intelligent mind but by the anointing. You are you here? Do you still remember what God told? What we read in the book of Ezekiel chapter 37, he said, and the hand of the Lord was upon me. And what happened? And he carried me away in the spirit. So, one of the things that happen when the hand of God comes upon you is that you begin to travel in the spirit. The spirit realm becomes familiar. Yesterday night, by this time, I was in Jones. And I gave a command. Because what I was teaching them several things, and I wanted them to believe. So in order for people to believe, I took advantage of the ability of the anointing. And I gave a command. And instantly a crippled girl rose up. And she began to walk. The whole place scattered. And she was not limping. No. She was walking. If I wanted her to run, she would have run. That was somebody that could not walk. The day before that day, it was healing night. So I gave a command. When they brought the guy to tell the testimony, a certain man's wife was due for delivery, and the doctor that was taking delivery of the child brought the child out, wanted to give the nurse. Nurse was distracted, and the child fell and hit his head on the table. That was how the guy became deaf. From the very day he was born. And because the parents were well-to-do, they were able to get a hearing aid that synchronized with his brain. A powerful one, very powerful. It is only through that aid that he hears. And when he came for the service, I gave a command. Instantly, the ears began to hear. The father, when telling the testimony, his mouth was shut. He couldn't believe. So, there are dimensions that are only accessible when they are anointed. He carried me away. He did what? He carried me away. Oh. You'll be seeing this person sitting here, but when the anointing begins to do what it does, you will go 5 years into her past. You know that word koinonia? Huh? It has a few meanings, one of which is transport. That's what the anointing does. It provides platform for transport. When you transport in the spirit, there are many things that are possible because of the anointing. And you are not capable of those things outside of the anointing. So people will see you under the anointing and think that's how you are 24 hours in a day. And then they will see you and see their solution in you. And come when there's no anointing and say, deliver us. If you have ever been in that situation, you will know how helpless we actually are in the face of challenges. But the moment the hand of the Lord comes upon you, he carries you away. Ezekiel was caught up in the spirit. He carried you. Then you begin to hear things that are not natural. And when God sees that you need some education in order for you to tackle the matter, the education switches on instantly. All of that is possible because the anointing occasions a carrying away. When the hand of the Lord came upon him and took him, the location where he was taken, the guy could talk about the location. Meanwhile, he did not go there in the natural. He knew that this was a valley of dry bones, but it was in the spirit that he was carried. Tonight, the hand of God will come upon you. The hand of God will come upon you in the name of Jesus. The moment he was carried away in the spirit, it became possible for him to begin to interact with Jehovah as if it was natural to hear God. Do you still remember when Jesus was transfigured? He brought a certain realm of his reality. He brought it on the Mount of Transfiguration. And that realm that he brought, it became natural for Moses and Elijah to operate on the platform that was downloaded. So he began to interact with Moses and Elijah as if it was normal. When the hand of the Lord comes upon you, there are some interactions that are possible to become like normal. Because it was when the hand came upon him that he was able to hear the voice of the Lord. The magicians, they were the ones that defined what was coming into Egypt. And they called it the finger of God. When there are challenges around your life, note this fact. In the flesh, you are incapable. That's the reason why we are shaking you to pray. If the inheritance I can give you is that I force you, I trap you, I bind you, you are handcuffed on one location until you know that there is potential in the Spirit of God that dwells inside of your spirit. The day he rises and he puts his hands on you, he can carry you. You see, the time I proposed to my wife, I had one shoe. It was white. Never forget. And I recommend white shoes. I propose that shoes. Asaimo Kantemila Hasenu More Kasalo. If the hand of the Lord was not upon her, that shoe alone will discourage the whole. Sometimes God needs to carry you in the spirit so that you can make righteous judgment. He needs to carry you in the spirit so that you can see beyond the fact that the guy has no belt. And he carried me in the spirit of the Lord. So it means that the Holy Ghost, there is, you can travel. Oh my God. You can travel. I traveled in the Holy Ghost to nations in Europe before. I've traveled there. And God gave me a privilege that he gave Moses. Moses did not enter into the promised land physically. But when Jesus was standing on the Mount of Transfiguration and downloaded his essence from the third heavens, he drew Moses and Elijah into context. That was the day Moses entered the promised land. He entered in the spirit. I traveled to many nations in Europe on my knees. You know, when Elijah appeared in the valley of Ezekiel, the valley of dry bones, he knew and he described the place. And he was the one that even gave us the detail of the fact that the bones were very dry. Meanwhile, he went there in the spirit and he had all these details. God will cause your feet to go to the place that he carries you in the spirit. You might visit in the spirit first. You will live long enough for you to set foot on the same places that he has carried you. But all these things happen when the hand of the Lord comes upon. It doesn't matter whether you are in prison, you are confined, you are in self-isolation, you are quarantined. If the hand of the Lord comes upon you, he can take you out of confinement. And that's why Paul said, when he was in bondage, he was in prison, he was bound and handcuffed. He said that the word of the Lord that was upon his heart was not bound. It was only bound in the flesh. But the word of the Lord upon his heart was not bound. It was in the prison that he had the time to put pen to paper. His patriarchs, his is and books. That's how he came up with the epistles. And indeed, today we have seen the truth of the fact that the gospel in his spirit could not be bound. I want to introduce us to an economy of realities that Satan cannot mimic. That he can't. No, he has a limitation. We need to exploit the limitation of Satan now. This is the time. This is what we are called to do in this generation. And the hand of the Lord was upon me. I don't want you to come for prayer and you are sleeping. That's why we stop. He carried me away in the spirit. He carried me away in the spirit. He carried me away in the spirit. I was in Ghana, and Theophilus was ministering. The reason why I like his ministry, the Lord normally carries me when he's ministering. So he will always be my brother. He has something that creates. Not everybody can minister to you. Especially when you go deep in the spirit and you find your texture, your tribe, your color. It is only your brethren that can speak to you. It means you are related spiritually. For him to have the vocabulary to speak what brings ventilation to your inner man. And as he ministered in the spirit, it was so heavy, I had to kneel down. It looked like sacrilege if I was standing. And this was not mechanical. It was the way I felt. Sometimes I feel like lying down. Don't think I'm trying to do holier than thou. I'm just responding. The moment I knelt down, I saw somebody like this. And he gave me a scepter. And he went back. I thought the person close to, it was so clear. I thought the person by my side saw what was happening. Then he came back again. Then he whispered into my ear and said, This thing I've been asked to give you. And he gave me some details about the thing. In the natural, we're still worshiping. But the reason why I was able to see that being was because I was carried. Do you know that you are blind as you are sitting here? You don't see where it matters. And that's why you'll be wondering why there's poverty in your life. You're wondering why it's difficult for you to marry. You're wondering why people are not coming to propose. All those things are hidden. But it is the outcome that is playing out in your life. And you cannot challenge that matter. Except you also have some secrets that are hidden. It will take a secret from God to undo a secret from the devil. And you cannot enter into secrets except the hand of the Lord. Your master, the man. And the Lord began to talk about the regime. The regime of the healing anointing that he was making available, and that is a test. It will be increasing for 2 years. The establishment is in 2 years' time, but what will be happening now is a test. You will never know that taking coffee and biscuit is facilitated by hand of God. The hand of God. The hand of God. Now, if you don't mind, I'm going to, maybe I'll stop here. But you know, I told you there are four spiritual things I need to teach you. This is number one. And I've not finished number one. I don't know if we'll continue number one tomorrow. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he carried me in the spirit and set me down in the midst of a valley which was full or bow. God can carry you like this and take you to the day where you were born, and you are watching your mother deliver you. You are watching it. Because that was what happened to me. I was asking God, why did I come? Why was I giving birth to with facial palsy, half of my face paralyzed? Sometimes God won't talk. What he will do is carry you in the spirit so that you can become a witness. He will carry you in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, there are some cases of deliverance. It is rooted in mysteries of darkness. And as long as you are praying and praying amiss, you are not hitting the point. He said, I need to help this man. And then the hand of the Lord does what? He comes upon you and carries you. Maybe we'll continue on this matter tomorrow, but let me end with a scripture. Give me a moment, let me extract this scripture. Second Peter chapter 1 verse 21. That's my closing remark for the night. Then we'll have a little moment of prayer so that we can afford the Lord the opportunity, if he so wills, to carry us in the spirit. It's a great blessing to be carried in the spirit. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God speak as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. I need that from NIV. If you have NIV on your console. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men speak from God as they were what? Carried along by the Holy Spirit. So one of the results that takes place when the hand of God comes upon you is that you are carried along. Tomorrow, if the Lord steals, if the anointing is still on this emphasis, you will see that you cannot prophesy except the hand. You see, the origin of prophecy is that the hand of God. We will talk about prophecy. Holy men of God, they speak as what? They were carried. You might see the battles, the fights in your family. People are frustrated. People cannot break beyond a certain limit. This is the pattern of marriages. You will never be able to interpret it until you are carried. So the prayer point I actually came with is, carry me, Holy Ghost. 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 Carry me. Carry me, Holy Ghost. Carry me. Ah, carry me. Psychopeli. Samalenko pato ala kesko temali. Carry me. Oh, as iso se cabrante cascula mandelia. Carry me, Holy Ghost. There is no form of mental permutation that you can do that will give you insight into things that are seen. You seek a solution to challenges that have lasted a long time. Carry me. Carry me. Can you sing that song for me? Thank you.
Tonight by 12, that in the next 12 a.m. we'll be back to this place for the prayer that has been ongoing. It is a 40-night vigil. 40-night vigil. A 40-night vigil has been ongoing, and with prayers and fasting. It's our only two way of letting the Lord know that we are willing to be helped and to not disappoint him, like Paul said from the prologue of this service this evening. So please make it a date to be around as we call upon the Lord. Amen. In recent time, the scripture had been troubling my mind. See, the word that was preached to them did not profit them, because they did not mix it with faith. The word that was preached to you was preached to them also, but it was devoid of any forms of profit, because the critical ingredients that was necessary to activate the profit that was contained, that word was not done, because they didn't mix it with faith. Learn to mix what you have heard this evening with faith, because that is what will make it produce. Amen. I want us to rise up as we shut down. But if you don't want to rise up, you can still sit down while we shut down. For thine is the kingdom, power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. See you by 12 a.m.